The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Generation to generation, it gets passed on.
Welcome to Generations Talk Radio. I am your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Thank you for joining us here every Wednesday where we embrace aging. You can give us a call with your questions or comments at 605-4567, or you can jump into the chat room at kcnr1460.com. Feel free to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, where I am posting ahead of time who my guests will be each week, and then you can decide if you want to listen or go to the archived versions if you can't. My guest this morning is Natalie Gwynn from here in Shasta County. Good morning, Natalie.
Good morning.
So, Natalie, we're going to get to chatting about a book that you just published, which is super exciting. But we actually met in spin class.
Yes.
It was our first interactions together.
Oh, yes.
And then we actually worked with Alexis Asby on the Brave Women Night, mm-hmm. where we spoke together. So it's been great to get to know you as you've been on your journey to get your book published.
Yes.
Super exciting, I'm sure.
Oh, it's been a journey for sure.
Was it like birthing your seventh child?
Yes, nice introduction to how many children I have. Yes, actually, I made that comparison quite frequently. It feels like I'm giving birth. It's all of the emotions, the ups and the downs, and the adrenaline and the tears. It's been a journey, and I have loved every minute of it.
I'm excited to hear more about that. So let's introduce you a little bit to our listeners. So you actually are from this area. Mm-hmm. You moved here in junior high.
Yeah, when mm-hmm. I was in junior high. So that was a really long time ago. Thinking about this is, I did not know your tagline was where we embrace aging, because I just turned 40 this year.
Okay,
so.
Well, you look amazing.
Thank you.
I actually love my 40s, so just so you know.
I love them so far, too. Mm-hmm. So far, they've been really good to mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's interesting is years ago when I first started thinking about writing this book, I just set myself in my mind. I'm like, okay, I'm going to write this book, and my goal is to have it published by the time I'm 40. And here I am, my 40th year, and my book was published. So,
good goal setting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I met my husband here at Shasta High School. We were high school sweethearts. Well, first we were not, because he asked me out and I said no, because I thought he was kind of a nerd. But I got over that and I realized he was a wonderful nerd. And we started dating in high school, got married, and we just celebrated our 21st wedding anniversary.
Oh, my gosh. How wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you. And we own Apex Technology Management, a local IT company, together. And I teach spin classes at Tree Ride, which is where I met you. Mm-hmm. I'm their cycling coordinator, and I'm on the bike there several days a week. You can find me on their bikes.
And your classes are always full.
I love it. It's a party.
It's really like your spin class is like therapy.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you're working out, but there's also this release, and you're so positive and empowering to everybody and motivating. Mm-hmm. And it's funny when people haven't been in your class before. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't realize they're going to dance on the bike.
Yes.
You know, it's super fun to do the figure eights on the bike and yes. all that. But you're very inclusive to everybody in there. You have a great energy.
Thank
to do that.
You. Mm-hmm. Oh, I really think of it as we're not just exercising. We're working our bodies, and we're there to also work our minds and our souls and our hearts and just become better as a whole person. Mm-hmm.
And that's a little bit of bragging about True Ride. If you haven't
yes,
been,
yes.
you can get a free class
Come
online.
Come visit me yeah. at True Ride. Yes.
So how long did the book take? When did you actually start putting pen to paper or mm-hmm. fingers to keyboard?
Okay, so let me just say that I was not, it actually was not my life goal to be an author. That was not my plan. But it was also not my life goal to adopt. Mm-hmm. And I ended up adopting a sibling set of four. And then a few years after we came home and became a family of eight, it was just very clear to me, God said, I want you to write your story. And at that point, I had no aspirations of doing anything besides obeying him. And so I sat in my living room and I started writing our story. And it was a year from the time that I just started putting pen to paper until the time that I finished my manuscript.
And did it flow out?
Yes, mm-hmm. it really did. I mean, I have nothing to compare it to, mm-hmm. but for me, this book is such a deep part of my soul. And I feel like it took my whole life to write this first book, really. I was drawing on all of my life experiences.
So the people that could really benefit from this aren't just people who have an interest in adoption. It could be mm-hmm. people that have a higher calling that mm-hmm. are that want to hear about your journey and what you went through, because this wasn't always your plan.
Right. And I tell people that, yes, I write about our adoption journey, but really our adoption is the story. It's the vehicle to tell people about what can happen when you step out into the unknown and take these big risks and the joy that is waiting there for you. I mean, honestly, there have been a lot of hard times, which I write about, but at the end of the day, I would not trade any of those challenges, any of those heartaches for where we are today.
Mm-hmm. And I think most people would agree you do grow through that.
Oh,
you know, we grow through the tough times
yes.
and struggles in life. On the other side of that, I mean, sometimes we're like, hey, I wish I could have got this knowledge any other way.
Yeah.
But I'm so grateful I have it now.
Yeah.
You know?
And really, my point in writing the book is to just say, you know, I'm just an okay mom. I'm not perfect. I'm not anything extraordinary. I'm just an okay mom who makes a lot of mistakes. But yet, that can be used in this world, and it can be used in our homes. And if we just are willing to give ourselves some grace for the things that we make mistakes on, then there's so much power in that.
Yeah, and the title of the book is called Okayest Mom.
Right.
So I was going to ask you where that came from, and then you kind of answered it.
Yeah, but Okayest Mom, because that is what I am. And I think that it's really easy, especially these days with filters and Instagram and social media and one-liners, to kind of paint this picture that we think this is what everybody's life is like. But, you know, you pull aside those curtains and look at the real truth of our lives, and we are all just okay, and we're mm-hmm. all making mistakes every day.
I agree, and I think, you know, I always tell my daughter, you know, Facebook is your highlight reel.
Yeah,
you know,
it is.
No one, well, some people put a lot on there that I'm like, oh, gosh, you put that up there. But, you know,
oversharing.
It really is, though, not fair to judge each other,
yes.
and especially moms.
Yeah.
You know, so this could be a great gift, actually, to a young mom, a new mom, someone expecting a baby.
Yeah.
To really, because I think that we need to put in perspective the expectations we put on ourselves, what we think society is putting on us.
Yeah.
Because there's so many moms that, you know, are trying to balance, you know, work and childcare and marriage and mm-hmm. other children,
mm-hmm.
You know, recovering from, you know, pregnancy and birth and bonding with this baby. I mean, there's, I think, nationally more moms, you know, hospitalized of exhaustion than there's ever been.
It's crazy.
You know, and so I just think we're still, whether the society deliberately does it or not, there's a lot of pressure
to
be perfect.
One of the words that you used is expectations, and I think that is so harmful for mothers that we put these expectations on ourselves. And if we are not living up to them, then we're beating ourselves up. And one of my favorite things to remind myself of is expectations are premeditated disappointments. You set your expectations and you're setting yourself up for disappointment in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say you shouldn't set goals or have dreams, but expectations for how you think you're going to be as a mother, how you think your children are going to be, how you think your home is going to be. Just release all of those expectations, and it allows you to be in the moment
mm-hmm.
and enjoy what you do have.
Oh, absolutely. And I remember, you know, having young children and the things at times I thought were important
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, you know what? I'll get to the dishes. You know, I'm going to take a nap right now. You know,
it's just like I'm all about
learning,
nap.
You know, well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to back up a little bit with Natalie and talk about the decision to adopt,
mm-hmm.
how she and her husband came to that.
Okay.
That choice and how it's impacted the children you had already. So
yeah.
We'll talk more about that after this. Stay tuned for more Generations Talk Radio right after this.
It had to be you. It had to be you. I wandered around.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
Stunning and breathtakingly beautiful, passionate, artistic and musical excellence. These are all words that have been spoken in expression of how people feel after experiencing an evening of Spanish flamenco by dancer Savannah Fuentes. On Friday, June 29th, you too can see the beauty of this dance and hear the musical stylings brought in a live concert by flamenco dancer Savannah Fuentes, singer Jose Moreno, and guitarist Pedro Cortez, live in concert at Reading School of the Arts beginning at 8 p.m. Friday, June 29th. To get tickets for this June 29th concert, go to brownpapertickets.com. That's brownpapertickets.com and type in the word Feria, spelled F-E-R-I-A. Or for more information on an evening of Spanish flamenco, call Patrick at 510-1903. That's 510-1903.
Back to Generations Talk Radio. I am your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. If you want to chat with Natalie or I, give us a call at 605-4567, or you can jump in the chat room. Bob's monitoring that for us at kcnr1460.com. As I mentioned, my guest this morning is Natalie Gwynn. She's a local author and just published her first book called Okayest Mom. And it focuses on her journey of adoption, and I think it says you doubled your family.
Yes,
which
we
is
did.
Crazy
in one day.
Yeah, in one day. So I know a little bit of this, but it's such an interesting story because it wasn't like you and your husband got married, had two bio kids, and went, okay, we think our next journey is into adoption.
Yeah,
it came to you. How did that come to you?
Yeah, it was a surprise. Mm-hmm. We got married and we had a son and a daughter. And we thought our family was complete, but there was a lot of events that all worked together. One of them was a local man, Peter Crawford. He was my husband's best friend, and he was diagnosed with cancer. I think a lot of people remember that. Mm-hmm. And he was diagnosed with cancer, and it was 3 months from diagnosis to death for Peter. And walking that journey with their family, going to all of his chemo treatments, driving them to the hospital, we were sitting in the room with them when Peter died. Really just caused us to reexamine our life and say, what are we living for? Any time it could be taken away. Mm-hmm. And so we started praying together, my husband and I, and God just showed us very clearly that he wanted us to adopt. And it was a lot of different things. And I will say that my husband is the one who mentioned it first. He told me, I think God wants us to adopt. And my first reaction was fear. I didn't think I wanted to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to pray about it for several months before I got on board with the idea and realized, yes, okay, this is what God has planned for our lives. But I just figured adoption was one baby. And then we ended up with four big kids. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole journey in itself. But what ended up happening is we were matched with a sibling set of, we thought, three children, and then we found out about their sister, actually, after the fact. We went over to Ethiopia, and we ended up staying there for 4 months, fighting for their sister and getting all four children. And then one day, the judge signed a paper, and boom, we went from a family of four to a family of eight.
And so your two children you already had mm-hmm. went with you to Ethiopia.
They did. We went together as a family, and we knew that we were going to be there for a little while. We didn't know how long it was going to be. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to spend some time in our children's country, in their culture. And because we were there, we actually were able to meet their mother and mm-hmm. spend some time with her, which was a gift to us and to our children that they had that time. We hired a videographer and asked her some questions and have a video for our children so they always will have that information. And then we came home as a family of eight.
And they didn't speak English?
No, they did not.
What language is there in Ethiopia?
Amharic.
Okay. And so do they still speak that other language?
My two little boys, they have forgotten it completely. Uh-huh. And then my two big girls, they remember it, but they get embarrassed because they feel like they don't remember it as well as they should. But, yes, they mm-hmm. can communicate. And my oldest daughter, because she was so old when she came home, she still has a very thick accent mm-hmm. when she speaks English.
How was that connecting to them over there with the language barrier?
It was challenging. Mm-hmm. When we were in Ethiopia, we were able to hire an interpreter and spend a lot of time. We actually hired somebody to come over to the house where we were staying, and he did English lessons and Amharic lessons, but really he just helped us to communicate with each mm-hmm. other. And it was very rudimentary. And then we came home, and all of a sudden, here we are in Redding, California. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of Amharic speaking people here.
Right. To talk about, you know, ingraining yourself into the culture. They were kind of thrown into the deep end of the pool.
They were. Mm-hmm. And, you know, immersion, children, they learned so quickly. But those first few months home, we were limited to communicating about the very basics, food and water and going to bed and getting up, the
Take
very,
a shower.
Very basics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did not have the words yet to communicate about feelings, mm-hmm. and that was what we really did need
sure.
to be able to communicate about.
How? What was their attitude, and maybe you didn't know it at the time, but now you've obviously probably talked about it, of leaving Ethiopia? Mm-hmm. Were they grateful to be coming to the States? What was their mm-hmm. view? Did they understand it at the time, was happening?
That's a really good question. Actually, a lot of people say, oh, they must be so thankful, so grateful that you adopted them. And this is what I try to say to people. They are so thankful that they're not living in an orphanage. And they're so thankful that they have food every day and they're not going hungry. And they're very thankful, much more thankful than many children, that they have education, because mm-hmm. that is not the case always in Ethiopia. So they're grateful for a lot of those things. However, I wouldn't say they're grateful to be adopted, because they love us. We love them. We are a family. But if at all possible, if they could have preserved their first family, that's what I would want for them. Mm-hmm. And that is what they would want. I mean, they lost so much by coming mm-hmm. to America. Mm-hmm. They did gain a lot, too, but it began with loss.
And I think we all look at that as, oh, my gosh, how lucky they are. But you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And so leaving that family, they mm-hmm. didn't really even know what
Oh, they
this
were
life was
scared.
Bring them.
They
you know,
were
you don't really know the other side of it. They probably didn't mm-hmm. even know some of these things existed, that
no.
these opportunities that they
oh,
were going
to
have.
When we first came home, I had to be very limited in how often I would take them out. We couldn't do multiple errands at once. Going to Walmart was an
sensory
overwhelming
yeah.
experience for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the children from Ethiopia and one of your existing bio children are actually the same age.
Yeah, they're my twins.
Yeah, and how was that for that child? Because sometimes you hear that birth order thing is really important.
Oh, it is. Uh-huh. We broke all the rules. They right. have all kinds of rules in adoption. You know, you should not adopt out of birth order, which means like adopt older than any of your biological children. Mm-hmm. Well, we broke that rule. They say you should not artificially twin, which we did. We mm-hmm. broke that rule. Older children, that comes with its own set of issues. Mm-hmm. We broke that rule. So we artificially twinned our daughters. They're both now 13 years old, 6 weeks apart in age.
Wow. So they are close.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They share a bedroom. They're in the same class at school. They're on the same sports teams. And when we first came home, we understood why social workers say don't do that. It was hard. They will tell you they hated each other. We had to sit in their bedroom at nighttime and physically separate them because they would fight. Physically fight. And there's so much that goes into that. Mm-hmm. But here we are 6 years later, and now they will tell you they are best friends. Mm-hmm. They really are best friends.
And, you know, I have a sister.
Mm.
And so, and your bio daughter at that point had only a brother.
Right.
Now she has two sisters. And
right.
I love my sister relationship.
Yeah.
I think it's, but we fought too.
Yeah.
And from the same family, you know, they send us out to the garage sometimes. Go settle it. You know?
Yeah. And we couldn't do it at that point because they did not have the tools needed.
Right, sure.
But so just yesterday, I did a Facebook Live launch party with my children. And that was one of the questions that my biological daughter answered. they said, you know, how did you feel about having four new siblings come in the home and your family changed forever? And how did you feel about that? And so my 13-year-old daughter said on this Facebook live stream.
You're like, oh, here we go.
It was so beautiful because she said, you know, I had always wished I had had a sister. And now I have two sisters, and I love them. And every time my children talk about each other, it touches my heart.
So in her mind, those challenges aren't what she, at the end of the day, has to say about it.
No,
but I think it's really good that you're so real about it, because if people are going down this path, maybe they broke the rules too, and they're going through that scenario that you have gone through, and may still be at sometimes going through. That's so relatable. It's not. Let's not paint it with a perfect brush.
Oh, it's not perfect.
Right.
I always say our family isn't normal. We're a new kind of normal, though. And you know what? There's going to be ongoing counseling sessions for our family for a long time, and that's fine. We need that. And there are still issues.
What do you think your biggest challenges are right now? Is it just normal age related things? Do you think it's all, because you've got like how many teenagers?
Yeah, I was just going to say the first thing that came to my mind is teenagers. I currently have four teenagers and my fifth teenager, he's becoming 13 in September. So I will have five teenagers.
So really
in the house
some of the challenges you have are challenges that anybody with that age group of kids would have.
Some of them, yes. And I get asked that question too, like, is this adoption related or is this just a kid thing? And one of the best answers that I have heard for that is Dr. Karen Purvis. She's like the pioneer in adoption and trauma research. And she says, okay, is this behavior adoption related? Yes. Is it child related? Yes. They're the same issues. The difference is in the severity and the frequency of those issues and how you respond to those issues. That's key for me, because my biological children, they had that connection with me from the beginning, and I can respond to them and not worry that I'm going to break the connection. My adopted children, I have to respond from a place of connection first over correction.
That's really interesting to think, because you're right. The issues may look like the normal teenage issues, but they're flaring up. That's the only way that they know how to probably reach out. It identifies or it mirrors maybe what an average teenager will be going through, but where that comes from, how to handle it.
That's exactly it. Where it comes from and how I handle it are completely different.
Well, it's even just like someone having like a stepchild or something. You know, you sometimes don't have the foundation that you've built of trust to come in and discipline someone else's kid.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be really careful that you build that foundation.
And I talk about that like it's all in today's society. There are so many blended families. You know how many blended families there are? Whatever that looks like, whether it's step-parenting or like a grandparent that is fostering their grandchild or adoption. There's so many blended families now, and these same issues apply to so many of us.
One of the things I want to talk about in the next segment is your marriage.
because
you know, there's a lot. I know the increase in divorce rates is really high for people that marry with kids or have bio kids and adoptive kids.
Blended families.
Yes. I mean, it's really high. So I want to chat a little bit about what tools you guys put into play and how you and your husband stayed on this path and stayed connected.
Okay.
At 21 years.
21 years of marriage.
Awesome. We'll take a short break and be right back with more Generations Talk Radio right after this.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the airwaves, is ground zero for the renaissance of downtown Reading. Our state-of-the-art on-air studio is under construction right now, so you might hear a bit of hammering in the background. We're upgrading our sound and control systems, so you may occasionally hear a little glitch, but bear with us, we will keep it to a minimum. And we will be expanding our presence with an FM channel and an exciting launch into video on YouTube Live. KCNR, Free Fire Radio. Join in the conversation.
A jury deliberation room filled with 12 men, ordinary people just like you or me who must decide the outcome of a murder trial. Experience for yourself as dramas run high, tempers flare, and personal prejudices are tested, all while the life of one 19-year-old man hangs in the balance.
Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present 12 Angry Men, written by Reginald Rose, directed by John Welsh. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, June 16th through July 7th.
Hi, this is Connor Sutton. Join me Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. for my all-new sports show where I discuss local, regional, and even national stories, as well as bring on guests with incredible sports knowledge. So join us Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. for Sports Talk with Connor Sutton, the only local sports show in Reading.
This is Carl Bott, and I'm with Dan Scott of Eagle Eye Painting, and Dan's doing all the painting in our new studios. Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. What should people be looking for at this time of the year?
Peeling paint, moisture in the wood, moisture in the stucco would be a couple things to look for, and then they know it's time to paint.
You've got, with 20 years in the business, where are some of the places you've been working at around here?
I've painted Riverview Golf and Country Club, SJ Denim, Mark Street Steakhouse. Those are just a few I've painted.
The thing I like about Eagle Eye Painting is when you give an estimate, That estimate stays there. It doesn't change halfway through the job.
No, there's no variation in my proposal. I have confidence in my numbers, and I stick to those. DanScottPainting.com, 530-400-5152. Eagle Eye Painting, a clear vision of craftsmanship. Eagle Eye Painting.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
Canada's Supreme Court ruled 7-2 that a private university must align all of its, quote, codes of conduct with the state's or lose its accreditation. Now, this decision has essentially banned faith from the public sphere, and it will have a ripple effect across all professions and institutions. The sexual revolution has changed many foundational standards of moral and ethical norms, and now it has been legally weaponized in Canada. But here in the USA, religious freedom will be defended. Visit pji.org and obtain your free guide, The Constitution on Campus.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Feel free to give us a call at 605-4567 if you have questions for myself or my guest, Natalie Gwynn, who her book just published, Okayest Mom, which you can go onto Amazon and purchase and support our local author and read her amazing story about her journey through adoption and how that impacted her family and her life. And we were talking before the break about your marriage, because when we, I mean, I just know the statistics of second marriages, remarriages, bringing in stepchildren, having a child together when you had kids already, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. I mean, sometimes the odds are such, I wouldn't get on an airplane with those odds. you know, like 70% sometimes it's really high. So was that a factor that you guys chatted about openly before you made the mm-hmm. decision, or was that something you just kind of worked through after you got the children here? How did that impact your marriage?
Through the adoption process, so in order to adopt, you have to go through, it's about a year's work of paperwork and fingerprinting and background checks, and a social worker comes to your house, and you have to take parenting classes, online parenting classes, and read certain books. So there's this whole process to go through, and part of that is talking about how adoption affects marriages. And being a part of the adoption community, we see that. We see a lot of people who have adopted, and then it ends up that their marriage falls apart. Because anytime you add those additional stressors into your marriage, how you and your husband respond to those additional stressors, you know, they can make or break you.
Sure. And so how has that, did you guys do well, like, over there for the 4 months?
When we were in Ethiopia, yes, mm-hmm. That was the easy part mm-hmm. because we were in a different culture and
we didn't have a lot of the stresses of life. Yeah.
Yeah. We mm-hmm. were just there for the kids mm-hmm. and he was there full time. You know, mm-hmm. he was able to not work for those 4 months and we were there together. Then we came home and that's where things got real.
The reality set in.
Yeah. He had to go back to work. And I had committed to homeschooling all 6 of my children for that year.
Brave woman.
Brave or crazy, I haven't decided yet. But I didn't feel like I could send these 4 children who didn't speak English, who had never been in school, who didn't know how to read or write, off to school.
Oh, no way. That would not have set them up for success.
Wouldn't have. Mm-hmm. But the bigger thing for us was I wanted to spend that first year bonding as a family. And really, we were learning how to be a family. And I didn't think that would be as possible if they were gone 8 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
So I was homeschooling all six of my kids. I didn't work during that time. And my husband was off working. So right there, it set us up for I was resentful. Mm-hmm. I really was. I felt resentful. I was like, in my mind, he's off at work having fun with his friends. He probably has time to have a hot cup of coffee every day. And I was at home homeschooling. But really, the bigger challenge for us was the trauma that we were working through, the emotional issues that I had to deal with every day. And he would walk in the door at the end of the day, and I was ready to blow. I had stored it up all day long and ready to let him have it.
You're like, we did this together, and now I don't feel like we're together in it anymore.
That is,
right.
Were you in my, I feel like you were a fly on my wall, because I said that so many times, like, this was your idea, and now you're off at work, and I'm having to deal with the brunt of it. Mm-hmm. And it was through no fault of his own, because he had to go to work, right? He had to feed six kids now, but.
Did he connect where you were? Did he understand how you would feel that way?
Yes.
Which that diffuses it a lot. He's like, hey, babe, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Honestly,
I wish I could be here. I can't. Yeah.
My husband, I have to say, he's the reason that we have done so well as a family. He is a peacemaker. He's easygoing. I tend to be a little spicy and hot-headed, and he just talks me down. And instead of engaging with me when I was all up in my feelings at the end of the day, he'd basically let me vent. And then say, you know, I'm so sorry your day was so hard. What can I do for you now? And so that was very, very helpful.
Mm-hmm. And did you guys ever have a time where you were like concerned, or do you feel like?
Oh, we went to counseling. Mm-hmm. Yes. So after we had been home together about 3 months, when we first came home, there's kind of a honeymoon period in that the kids didn't have a whole lot of English, so they couldn't share a lot of their feelings.
They couldn't tell you.
Yeah, and everyone's on their best behavior, right? You're in a new relationship. But after we had settled in, it was around Christmas time, because so the 4th of July, actually, next week, that is our family day. That's the day that we became a family, 4th
wow.
of July. And then we came home from Ethiopia in August, because it takes about another month to get all their paperwork ready to travel. So from August to about December, it was okay. And then in December, everything really just was stirred up, and it started a year of really, really challenging time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started researching therapies and counseling, and I don't know if you've heard of neurofeedback and EMDR. Like, all of a sudden, these things that I never had to know about before, I was researching.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us, all eight of us, went to counseling. Not just my adopted children. Like, we all needed counseling.
Oh, yeah. It changed your whole family dynamic.
Yes, my biological children, they went to counseling. I went to counseling with my mother. It affected that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I went to counseling. And another thing that was really helpful for me is I had friends who had walked this road before, and I would just call them up and say, I need to talk to somebody, and be able to vent and cry. And they would kind of like give me a reality check, you know, okay, here's some ideas for you. Let the dishes go. Don't worry about your house being clean, you know, give your husband some grace, all of these things. But we did go to counseling, and we did go through a very, very rough patch in our marriage.
And you started some blogging through this process, too. Did that help you as far as, like, maybe getting some emotion out?
It did.
And that community supporting what was happening for you, too?
Yeah, I started blogging, actually, when we went to Ethiopia, only because we were going to be there, and I wanted to be able to tell our family what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the easiest way to do it, right? I wrote almost every day, this is what we did today. But it wasn't a blog in the sense of, you know, like now, like, and then I'm putting a blog out there for everybody to read. It was really for my family.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I came home and I was homeschooling for a year, I felt so isolated.
I bet.
And I had no outlet, no way to get out of the house, really. Besides, I did go to the gym. I will say this. That was one of my saving graces. Some of my sanity was the gym. That exercise and endorphins for me.
Mm-hmm.
But the other outlet for me was writing and blogging and just expressing my feelings and connecting with people online in that way who are like, oh, my goodness, this is how I made it through. So, yeah, I wrote a blog about sex. and the lack thereof at this, you know, there's
juncture
at this juncture. Well,
you get through a dry spell. That happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
I actually wrote about, it was a time earlier in our marriage when I had an infant and a toddler, and we went through a dry spell too, you know, where you're exhausted, you're up three times a night. I felt like people were touching me all day long, and mm-hmm. I was like, we went through a dry spell. So I wrote a funny story about a time my husband tried to remedy that dry spell by taking me away for a romantic weekend and what happened during that weekend. But then I related it to the fact, like, you know, every marriage is going to go through dry spells in every area, whether that's in the bedroom or whether it's in communication, mm-hmm. whether it's in your feelings are going to come and go. And the goal in a marriage is to be able to work through those time periods to get to the other side, because here we are 21 years married. We just celebrated 21 years in May, and I love my husband so much, like for the hard time, mm-hmm. you know, how he responded in those hard times.
I think that's so great. And I remember hearing someone say years ago, you know, you don't wake up in love with your children every day, right? But you would never be like, you know, I haven't loved you. I haven't felt love for you for a couple months now. You're 15. Yeah. I think I'll get a divorce.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to wake up in love with your partner every day. Mm-hmm. It's that commitment of like, I've chosen this mm-hmm. for myself, and I'm going to work at it, just like we work at it with our children.
Yeah.
You know, people are trading in, you know, husbands, you know, but your dog can chew up your stuff and be a pain. You never give your dog away, you know, but it's like we somehow have lost, you know, the commitment of the marriage. Mm-hmm. And I definitely have so much respect for, again, a lot of the clientele that I deal with home helpers, you know, people married 75 years.
Yeah.
You know, and I ask them a lot, you know, what's your secret to an amazing marriage? And I get, you know, all kinds of answers. Sometimes it's never go to bed angry, always be the first to say you're sorry. Mm. One gal said two TVs, you know, depending on the generation, right? And one gal said, which this may apply to you and your husband, she says, you have to like each other. Because
yeah,
at the end of the day, you know, the sex may come and go. The financial stuff may be a challenge. Mm-hmm. Your kids are going to be young. They're going to grow up. They're going to leave you. Mm-hmm. All these stressors of life are going to happen. And if you really don't like your partner, like their integrity, their ethics, their mm-hmm. personality, their sense of humor, it's going to be tough to make it through anything in life if you don't
that
really feel that connection.
So true. Mm-hmm. We talk about that, my husband and I, like, right now, we have 6 kids in the home, and we're going in 12 different directions, and we have sports and homework, and we're so busy, but we try to go out, him and I, on a date, and sometimes it's just a lunch date. That's all that we can squeeze in, but when we have an hour, him and I truly enjoy spending time with him, mm-hmm. and we talk about one day our kids
that's
are going
right.
to grow
one
up.
One day you'll have all that, yeah. Uh-huh.
And not that I'm excited about them leaving, but I am excited about raising successful adults. And I am excited about the fact that when they do leave, I can still enjoy my life with my husband. You know, I enjoy traveling with him mm-hmm. so much. That's my favorite thing to do. But we don't, we get to do that. Actually, I'm kind of spoiled because we do get to do that still with 6 children, just not as often as I would like.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's really important in marriage is when the kids are through those active stages, people lose that connection with each other. Then the kids all leave, and then they're like, who is this person, and how do I...
What do we talk
15
about?
15 years have gone by. Yeah. I don't... Because we do grow and change.
We do.
As we age. And if you're losing that connection with your partner mm-hmm. Through that time, you know, it's going to jeopardize your marriage at some point.
Yeah.
Well, I've been talking with Natalie Gwynn. Her book is Okayest Mom. You can get it on Amazon. It's out now. Did it yesterday?
Yesterday was
okay.
Launch day. It was
yesterday.
Such a fun day.
Support her. She's local. We're so thrilled to have her in our community. It's just another example of the great talent and wisdom and go-gettedness that we Readingites have. We forget what we have in our own backyard sometimes, the talent and all of that. So we'll be right back with our final segment with Natalie. Stay tuned for more Generations Talk Radio right after this.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
My mom loves shopping at Orchard Nutrition Center. Her motto, you are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. She says that all the time. Mom loves all the local veggies. And Dad, he likes meat. Orchard carries locally grown, 100% grass-fed beef. Dad's even eating healthy, and he doesn't even know it. If you haven't been to Orchard Nutrition, you owe it to yourself and the ones you love. It all starts at Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., 7 days a week.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Grant and Things. Hey, Mike, so I gotta ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's gonna last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite-lined roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it forever furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed, but after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Clark. You can join us here on KCNR 1460 AM live every Wednesday at 9 AM where we embrace aging. You can give us a call at 605-4567 or jump in the chat room at kcnr1460.com. My guest this morning has been Natalie Gwynn, a local author of a book titled Okayest Mom, about her journey through adoption and doubling the size of her family in one day from a family of four to a family of eight. A sibling set from Ethiopia. So, we've had a great chat this morning. So Natalie, I'm so proud of you. You've had some great recognition on the book already.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you like a minute to be braggadocious. Cause one of the things that we women do not do enough is brag.
Oh,
right.
Well, I was hoping you would brag on me, but okay. So it just launched yesterday. My book launched and hit all the stores yesterday, and it was exciting to watch it because it was a number one bestseller on Amazon yesterday, and it was chosen. Kathy Lee Gifford chose my book, and she held it up on the Today Show.
Oh, my gosh, how exciting.
I had no idea, and actually, my friend sent me a screenshot and said, you didn't tell me your book was going to be on TV. I had no idea, so I had to go and watch it myself, and my hands started shaking. But she chose it and talked about it and said that she chose it as her favorite thing, 2018. So that was...
How exciting.
Amazing, amazing, yes.
And well-deserved.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, it's a great message. So one of the things, and if people are interested in learning more about you, you have a website that you're blogging on?
Yeah, I have a website, nataliegwynn.com, just my name, nataliegwyn.com. I blog there. I post a lot of links to other ministries and orphan care kind of sites, and I have a newsletter that I send out. I just like to hang out there with all the ladies that I've met through this writing journey. It's been amazing.
I think that, and I really enjoyed watching part of your Facebook Live yesterday, and one of the things that I wanted you to touch on real quick before we end the show is why people should not adopt.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of times we may be under the misconception when people adopt and end up having a good story that you're like, everybody should do it. You know, this has worked out so well for us. There's a lot of children that need homes. Everybody should be doing this. But that's really not your belief system.
No, I get a lot of comments, which I believe are really well-intentioned, people who say when they hear our story, I've always wanted to adopt, but, Either I don't have the money, my husband's not on board, it's not the right time, my life's too busy. I've always wanted to adopt, but. And the other thing that I hear people saying is there are so many orphans, which is true, 140 million orphans in the world. I mean, so many children who need a home. And so on the opposite side of the spectrum, I hear people saying everybody needs to go out and adopt.
It's our moral obligation.
And then we're going to take care of that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I believe. I believe that there are plenty of good reasons why people should not adopt. For example, if you're married and one spouse is not on board, don't do it.
The no's win.
Oh, yes. And I tell that to it seems like a lot of women have this burning desire in their heart, and they come to me and say, my husband isn't on board. And I said, then you need to wait, because I'm telling you, it tears apart at your marriage. Mm-hmm. And if your husband is blaming you for that, it's not going to be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I believe that, yes, we all need to be taking care of the widows and the orphans. That is what we should do. But it looks differently for everybody. It doesn't mean that you're going to bring those children into your home. Maybe you support an adoptive family.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you find, here locally, we have the CASA volunteer program, working with children who need some help in the system. Foster care, just filling a backpack full of supplies for the children in foster care for back to school. There are so many ways that you can reach out and love on these children, and it doesn't mean that you necessarily need to adopt and bring them into your home. Now, maybe you do, maybe you should, and that is your calling, but not everybody should.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I think it comes from well-meaning space.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, you're right. If you're breaking up your family over it, that's not going to be beneficial.
Yeah, you need to make sure that I really think it begins by both spouses being 100% on board with the idea. That's where it has to start.
And I think that's the same if you have a bio child. I mean, the no's win.
The no's win.
You know,
win.
It's like, you know, you've got to both be there. You know,
yes.
We have heard way too many stories of, you know, let's have the baby and he's really going to be happy we did. And,
yeah, or it'll fix the marriage.
Yes,
this is the thing that will fix the marriage.
And
if there are issues in your marriage, then those need to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put a Band-Aid over them with a child.
And I think, you know, we in our community, there's so many ways to get involved to be helpful. We have so many great opportunities for people to volunteer or donate to that, you know, you can make a bigger difference.
I work with One Safe Place, and there's a lot of volunteer opportunities for One Safe Place. We're always needing people to help.
And on that topic, donations too, right?
Because
I've donated a lot of clothes, like work clothes,
because
these are women that are trying to get jobs and may need interview outfits.
Absolutely.
And if, you know, rather than go to Goodwill or something like that, I'd much rather have, you know, I've done stuff to the mission too, where they're putting people to work. Let's give them outfits and interview opportunities.
And One Safe Place, they will post on their social media if they need, for example, juice boxes and cheese sticks or something for the kids. You know, they'll post their needs, and that's a great way to get involved.
Mm-hmm. And I think for our community right now and some of the frustrations that we have with the homeless and increasing crime, these are people that are reaching out for help, the women that are at One Safe Place.
Yes.
These are families that are saying, hey, I'm in a bad spot. I need some help from my community. I want to make change. And that's where I like to focus instead of complaining about everything else, let's focus on the agencies that are helping people, that are asking for the help and are willing to do the work to continue getting it. They're willing to work with their children. They're willing to get their kids out of a bad position.
And they already have a lot of great programs and systems in place. There's no need to reinvent the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Just put your energy and your time and your resources, you know, where it's already
Absolutely. Already
working.
So on what's next for your family? What's next for you? You've got your books out.
Well,
it's doing amazing. You're going to be doing some promotions.
Well, what's next for me? Well, you know, if you would have asked me that 6 years ago, I would not have said adoption and becoming an author. So I never know what God has in store for me. I do know that I have been getting requests to speak, and I love that. I went to Dallas. I have something lined up in Southern California. So I have some speaking events on my schedule for the fall. And then, you know, there is talk of a second book. So we will see. We will see.
And the children, how are they feeling about the book and the stories? Because you were pretty honest about the experiences. Were they open to what you were sharing? Did they all read it?
Yeah. So this is a hard line to walk, I think, when I am writing my story, but it includes a lot of my children's story. And I really do believe that their story is theirs to share. It is not mine to share. So anything in the book that I felt like was close to the line, I asked my children before I included it. And there's a lot I did not include in the book because my children did not give me the green light for that. The stories that I share are ones that they have they have given their stamp of approval to. And I asked my daughter that yesterday on the Facebook Live. I don't know if you saw this question, but I asked my oldest daughter, my 15-year-old, how do you feel about me writing this book and sharing so much about your life? And the truth is, I didn't know what she was going to say. We hadn't practiced it ahead of time. And her answer made me choke up because she said, you know, I am a private person and it's hard for me to share a lot of my stories and my deepest thoughts with other people. But I always feel like if it can help somebody else, then I need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm okay with you writing this book because I think it's going to help other people. And it was just such a beautiful.
I did see that.
Wasn't it amazing? Mm-hmm. I just was like, I want to hug her and kiss her all over. She was so sweet.
Which is like what they're learning. Like this book has so, there's so many levels of what this book is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for people to read and learn from, for you to share your experience, but for them to have involvement in it, to have the respect of it, of being discussed with it, to have their childhood documented in a way that maybe they can reflect back on.
And I even
and seeing the bigger picture for them.
My oldest, my biological son, he wrote a chapter in the book, completely his voice. I edited some of his grammar, but it's his, his writing. And then three chapters in the book are written from one of my twins, Naomi, my 13-year-old. It's written from her perspective. So I really did try to include, it's not just my story and my life. It's really ours. And so I tried to make that very obvious for my children. This is a journey we're taking together.
Mm-hmm. And how involved was your husband?
Well, he didn't write any of it. but I will say this, our whole married life, you know, we own Apex Technology together and that's been our main focus. And we love that business. And I have been homeschooling and raising the kids and six kids and working in the fitness industry. But for the first time now with this book and with me speaking, there's been a shift in our home. And it's trying, like I said, there's seasons in marriages, right? And figuring out that new shift. And he came to me and he said, I believe that my ministry at this time in life is to support you in your ministry. And he has been so wonderful and so supportive and so thankful and encouraging to me. And I just appreciate him so much.
And this is where a lot of times he may not have been prepared for what's going to happen, you know, when it's done, right?
Yeah.
Now I can't just write it. I need to promote it. I want to talk to people. I'm going to be invited. Are these speaking engagements like for people that have adopted? Are they like support groups or national meetings for adoption?
They are. There's a lot of adoption and foster care conferences around the United States, and they're reaching out and asking me to come and speak there. And my husband did say at the one in Southern California, he said, well, you can go, but I want to go with you.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's going to go and carry your bags for you, right?
He wants to, yes.
Well, if you want to support Natalie and purchase her book, it's called Okayest Mom. Again, Natalie Gwynn, G-W-Y-N-N. And you can purchase it on Amazon. Is it G-W-Y-N?
One N.
Okay.
They'll find me.
And purchase it on Amazon. Support her. Read about her journey. I thank you so much for coming on.
You're just
delightful. And I hope everything goes amazing. And I do want to get a copy and I want you to autograph it for my daughter.
Because I can do that.
She's really excited to read about everything and adoption. She's only 23, but it's something she's always thought about and is in her mind. So I think this will be great for her to learn a little bit about.
I would love to
give her the experience you had.
Thank you, Sharon. Thanks again. Okay.
Again, if you want to listen to us online, you can listen to archived versions of the show at generationstalkradio.com. And you can join us here every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Follow us on Facebook, Generations Talk Radio, and on Instagram at Generations Talk Radio. Natalie and I took a couple really a cute photo today. So
yeah,
I'll be posting that on my Instagram page and my Generations Talk Radio page. So,
and can I say that I have a couple of local events too?
Sure.
Mosley Family Sellers, who we all know and love, they offered to host a book signing and a wine tasting in their Hilltop room, tasting room. So that's going to be coming up July 12th, the Thursday evening. So you can come by and have a glass of wine and get an autographed copy of my book.
Perfect.
Yes.
Support. I'm going to definitely come.
Yeah.
Wine and an autographed copy. Well, that's where my daughter will get her copy.
I'll come there.
Awesome.
Okay.
Well, again, thanks for listening to us today. And we will see you next Wednesday, 4th of July, 9 a.m. Bob Singh, keep talking, Natalie. Well, did you have another event?
I do. Well, we're going to do a signing at Barnes & Noble, but I don't have a date for that yet. So
I'll post that on my Facebook page when you have it.
That sounds good.
And then we can share that with the listeners so we can keep going. Well, remember, do not regret growing older. It is a privilege denied to many. Have a great day. It's a
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.